Morning. I will be bringing you the announcements today. UMBC morning announcements. Sunday school every Sunday at 9 a.m. Bible study on Wednesdays. Doors open at 5 p.m. Class begins at 5:30 p.m. in person and in Zoom. Tithes, offering, benevolent may be put in the box as you enter the sanctuary before service and or as you exit the sanctuary after service. March 26th through the 28th, 2026 is the Pearl Singleton Retreat. March 29th, 2026 is the Baptist Fellowship of Bloomington, Illinois Joint Communion Service. It will be at 2 p.m. at Mount Pisgah Baptist Church in Bloomington. Coming up events, Community Good Friday Service on April the 3rd, 2026. Baptist Fellowship of Bloomington, Illinois will be having Good Friday Service at Union Missionary Baptist Church at 12 p.m. April 5th, Reinstitution of Walk-Around Offering. Starting April the 5th, walk-around offering during morning service will be reinstituted. Online giving through Giblify will remain as an option. The UMBC Care Ministry. The purpose of the UMBC Care Ministry of our church is to strengthen relationships within our congregation by providing spiritual support, emotional support, encouragement, and supportive presence as needed by our congregation. Come one, come all. You are invited to Vacation Bible School. June 15th through June 19th at 5:30 p.m. through 7:15 p.m. here at Union Missionary Baptist Church, 509 West Jackson. Daily topics. First class, care for myself. Class two, care for my relationships. Class three, care for my world. Yeah. Class four, care for my finances. And the fifth day will be care for my gifts. Yeah. Registration begins Sunday, March 29th. Registration is $3 for ages 0 to 17 and $5 for ages 18 and up. If you have any questions, please contact Sister Cynthia Johnson. Raise your hand. Easter program announcement. We will be having an Easter program during our regular Sunday school time. And the title is From Darkness to Dawn. Please join us Sunday, April 5th at 9 a.m. for the Sunday School Department's annual Easter program. So it'll be held here in the sanctuary. This year's theme is From Darkness to Dawn. Everyone is invited to celebrate our risen Savior. Light refreshments will be served immediately following the program. And I have a card to read. Grateful and blessed. Thank you so much. Your prayers, calls, and texts have all been appreciated. To God be the glory in all things. Chantel Thornton, Hawthorne Family. Amen. Thanking God for you, Ephesians 1:16. Those are our announcements. I'll turn it over to the hands of the pulpit.
Good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. On behalf of our pastor, Dr. U.D. Williams, and the entire Union Missionary Baptist Church family, we want to welcome everyone here this morning, say good morning, and pray that God will bless you as we go through our service. We ask that God will bless those that may be participating in our service in the parking lot. Because this is the day that the Lord has made, and whatever's going on, we ought to be rejoicing. At this time, we're going to ask those that can stand, if they may, as we repeat our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. And while you are still standing, we will do our scriptural reading together, which comes from Matthew chapter 22, verses 32 through 40. And it reads, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Love God, love others. You may be seated. Thank you. At this time, we'll have a song from our choir.
Watch my heart.
Watch my heart.
Watch my
It's prayer time. Those that would like to stand with us as we prepare for prayer, you may do so. And we all know that we all have different health issues, but we still can lift up our heads and lift up our eyes to the hills from His cometh our help, knowing that our help comes from the Lord. Give us a clean heart, Father, so that we may serve Thee. Father, we thank You for the blessings that Thou hast bestowed upon us. We thank You for raising us up this morning to a brand new day that You have made. Father, we thank You for raising us up this morning so that we may be able to praise You to the highest. Father, we just thank You for all the blessings that You have bestowed upon us. For thanks and forgiveness, Father, is what we need to give to You. We thank You for letting us be able to open our eyes this morning to see. We thank You for being able to hear. We thank You for being able to enjoy a meal that You have prepared for us. Father, we thank You for whatever health and strength we may have, for the movement of our eyes, our mouth, our ears, our legs, our arms. Father, we just thank You. And Father, we pray that You would forgive us for all the wrong that we have done, for everything that we have done to offend You. Father, we just ask for Your forgiveness. We pray that Thou would continue to watch over and bless us. Father, we ask for the blessings upon our pastor and his family, wherever they may be. And Father, for all those other brothers and sisters that are missing this morning, we pray that Thou would watch over and bless them too. Father, we pray that You would just continue to be our guide, our leader. Father, we ask for Thy blessings upon our preacher this morning. Watch over him, bless him, and continue to strengthen him. Father, we pray that You would heal our bodies, souls, minds, and spirits so that we may be able to serve Thee to the highest. Father, these blessings we ask in Thy Son Jesus' name and pray. Amen. You may be seated. At this time, we'll turn our service over to the hands of our preacher this morning, Reverend Coleman.
Amen. Amen. Good morning. Good morning. I hope you're happy and you know it. So, in honor of our pastor, clap your hands.
Amen. Amen. It is an honor to be here today. Thank you so much, choir, for your wonderful service and the praise that you bring each week. I'm humbled to stand here today. I don't take this lightly. I know that the pastor thinks very highly of his congregation and this very sacred desk. So I don't take it for granted that he allows me this opportunity to stand here
And I just ask for your continued prayers as we seek to do the Lord's will. As we get ready today, I want you to find the text for today from Luke, the 8th chapter, verses 40 through 48. Luke, the 8th chapter, verses 40 through 48. And if you will stand with me, we're going to read the scripture together. We can do the song afterwards. It's okay. Let's look at the scripture. And we'll follow us on the screen so we can be together. Okay, let's go with the NIV, which is on the bottom. Okay, let's start at verse 40. Now when Jesus returned to the crowd, welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. And there came a man named Jairus, who was a ruler of the synagogues. And falling at Jesus' feet, he implored him to come to his house. For he had an only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she was dying. And Jesus went. The people pressed around him. And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years. And though she had spent all her living on physicians, she could not be healed anymore. She came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment, and immediately her discharge of blood ceased. And Jesus said, "Who was it that touched me?" When all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the crowd surrounds you and you are pressing into you." Verse 46. But Jesus said, "Someone touched me, for I perceive that power has gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him, declaring in the presence of all the people why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. In that 48th verse, and he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." I ask that you would prepare your hearts with me as we take up a topic today, a touch of faith. A touch of faith. But let's consider the question.
Jesus is the answer
today for you.
For the world today.
What's on your heart this morning? But I promise you,
above him
there's no other. Jesus is the way. Today we're going to talk about a touch of faith. A touch of faith. Some of y'all might not know it, but this is Women's History Month. Anybody know that? Yeah, this is Women's History Month, where we remember some of the many contributions that women have made to our society. And sure enough, in the black church, our sisters have been holding this up for a long time. So we honor Women's History Month and all the many things that have come through your efforts. And today we're going to talk about probably one of the most familiar women in biblical history. If you heard songs, if you've been around any kind of preaching, you've heard about the woman with the issue of blood. She taught us an object lesson in faith, and I want us to hear this today as we prepare our hearts for this resurrection season, because it is by faith that we fully engage the power of the resurrection. So it's the faith that we learn about here today is what I want you to take with you as we prepare for this season. I'm going to look back to my text. Now, I'm going to be reading a selection from the English Standard Version. They touch on a few things different. But in this book, we find that you'll find this account in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, right? So if I say something, you hear something that may sound off, when you merge those three together, it's not be hitting on each of them, but just know that this is taken three different times. Mark is one of the first Gospels written. And Mark goes into a great detail about this text, about this account, right? And then you have Matthew, who came later. He doesn't really say a whole lot at all, but it's there. Luke, what we'll find, our writer today, takes a special interest in the marginalized, the women, the poor, the children, those who are the outcasts of society. So Luke made it his point when he was trying to figure out how to put this in order to make sure that this young lady's story would be told, okay? Let's get ready to look at our text today. There's two miracles that's recorded here. We're going to focus on the one of the woman. The Bible doesn't give us a name. It just says the woman. But I will say by the end of this story, we're going to find that she has a name, okay? And I want you to be encouraged today that you have a name. You have a name in our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we're going to hear about today. Let's look at our first verse. I got these iPads here, so we keep jumping around. So if y'all see me putting my hands on this thing, say, Nate, move your hands, because it keep jumping from page to page. But I'm going to be at the 8th, and I'm going to look at those first few verses here on today. And that will be in verse 30. Y'all bear with me. It's going to get better from here, okay? But Jesus has gone through, he's been preaching to many different areas. He is at the height of his popularity, right? He's been preaching in Galilee. He's been throughout the nations. And the word about him has gone through everywhere, such that everyone is hearing and want to see this man named Jesus. They're still trying to kind of figure out if he is able to do exactly what he called to do. I'm going to look at these first few verses from 40 to 43. And again, I'll be reading in the ESV version. It says, "Now when Jesus returned, the crowd welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. And there came a man named Jairus, who was a ruler of the synagogues. And falling at Jesus' feet, he implored him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter about 12 years of age, and she was dying. As Jesus went, the people pressed around him." Now, we got any girl daddies out there? Have a daughter? I'm a girl daddy, right? And something about that daughter just gets your heart so up. So if his daughter is dying, brother got a problem. He's in desperation. He's got an urgency about himself, and he needs Jesus to move with some swiftness. Okay, I need to set up the scene here so we can learn a little something about our Lord Jesus, because Jesus don't get excited about your agenda. Amen. You can't stir him up. Jesus got it all under control, so he don't get excited about your agenda. Okay, but this was a moment of desperation. See, Jairus was on kind of the top of the social order when it came to the Jews. He was a ruler of the synagogue. He was one who was known by everyone. So when everybody saw that Jesus was coming, everybody knew, they announced that people were waiting because Jesus getting ready to show up. Jairus had the authority and people allowed it to get up front, come straight to Jesus' feet and let his plea be known. He was concerned about his daughter. And I tell you, ain't nothing wrong with that. But there was someone else in that same crowd. She couldn't cry out as others had done. She didn't have four friends to lift her and take her to this place. See, this woman had a problem. A primary character today had a health issue. She was had an issue of blood. She was ceremonially unclean. That means that she couldn't touch nobody else and nobody else could touch her. That meant that she was an outcast in society. She couldn't even go to church, y'all. The synagogue wouldn't let her up in there, but she had a problem. So while I submit to you, Jairus was a little desperate, this woman was desperate too. Have you ever been desperate? Have you ever come to a point in your life where you have run out of options? This woman today had come to this point. She had heard that Jesus was coming to town. And the word on the street was that people got healed by touching him, as Luke points out in that 6th chapter and 19th verse. In that verse, we find it says, all the crowd sought to touch him, for power came out of him and healed them all. When we look at this in Matthew and Mark's gospel, we see her contemplation. If others have touched him and been healed, maybe, just maybe, if I can get to him, maybe it'll work for me. The seed of her faith began when she decided to try Jesus for herself. If you remember the song, she said she heard Jesus was coming by, so she decided to give him a try. Now, sometimes we can over-spiritualize this. Sometimes we can make it look like she had been studying her Bible and all the Hebrew and Greek, and she knew that Jesus... No. She was desperate. She tried all that she had. She spent all her money on doctors. And for 12 years, she had been stricken with this disease. And keep in mind, we only a couple years into Jesus' ministry. All her hope had been lost. Even when she started hearing about Jesus, I suspect this sister was a little skeptical. Yeah, right. Okay, yeah, he healed a few. But after hearing so many testimonies, after hearing about the Lord, her hope came up again. Because sometimes we can get into a place in life where we feel like all of our hope is gone. We're at the end of our rope and nothing can help us. Because we learned, though, through this Bible, that Jesus is the way. So she decided herself to give him a try. Yeah. See? She didn't know what the outcome would be, but she was desperate enough to try for herself. In all the commotion of folks pressing towards Jesus, she finds opportunity. For this moment, people were not looking at her, distracted by Jesus. She makes a decision in her desperation to try and blend in with the crowd without drawing attention to herself. And if she can just get close enough to touch him, she could see for herself. Yeah. We would like to believe that she knew a plan would work, but again, she was just desperate. Yeah. See, sometimes in our point of desperation, we realize that our strength ran out. She ran out of money, but sometimes as a man, we run out of strength. We run out of hope. So many doors closing on our face. So many times that we've tried and been turned away. So many things that we thought that was going to help us move on through this life. It seems like that door shut in our face. So we all, I believe, have been touched by moments of desperation. But there's a glimmer of hope in Jesus Christ. But remember, she had a problem. She had a dilemma. She recognized that there may be an answer for her desperation, but she had a dilemma. She may have thought to herself as she thought about her condition, but wait a minute. He won't touch me. Yeah, I heard he touched other people, but he won't touch me. The rules don't allow it. And I can't touch him because I would surely be exposed. Yeah. See, people had an eye. She was using this moment of distraction, but in her hometown, people kept a close eye on her, right? Because everybody knew she ain't supposed to be out around the rest of us regular folk, okay? So she had a dilemma. What do I do? Can we relate to her problem? See, many of us have heard about Jesus going up through our life. Many of us have heard that he's healed the sick. He's raised the dead. That Jesus is the answer. We are sometimes skeptical, though, when we look at the lives of those so-called Christians and only see hypocrisy and often what appear to be defeat by the world standards. And the church, where I'm supposed to go to meet Jesus, look at me crazy because I don't have the right kind of clothes on. Maybe because I don't have the right last name. Don't nobody know my family. Maybe because I'm the wrong ethnic type. You're different. So coming to the place where they're supposed to meet Jesus, even we can sometimes be a deterrent. She had a dilemma, okay? I don't feel like I belong because I didn't grow up in the area. I'm not concerned, consistent with the right families, but I've tried all I can to make sense out of life. I'm just ready to tap out. So in this moment of desperation, she had a decision to make. In this moment of her dilemma, she had a decision to make. The scripture in Luke talks about how everything was choked in. Everybody was pressing and leaning into Jesus. And then to make it worse, they thought Jesus was going to stand there and start teaching. All of a sudden, after Jairus' story, the Bible says Jesus didn't say nothing, and he just took off. Can you imagine? She was waiting there, reaching out her hand, getting ready to make a move. Then all of a sudden, Jesus take a turn. Yeah. Can you think about that last moment of discouragement? Can you think about that time you finally built up the energy to come to church? I'm going to finally get to church. And then somebody with a bad attitude just turned you completely off. Have you ever sat in a Sunday school where you're trying to learn about the word of God and everybody made you feel like you didn't know nothing, so you didn't want to come back again? In those little moments of discouragement, Satan would try and get us to turn back. But this woman has something that's a key ingredient to the faith that we're going to talk about today. Let's continue reading in our scripture. He said, Jesus turned, starting in verse 43. It says, and there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years. And though she had spent all her living on physicians, she could not be healed by anyone. She came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment. And immediately her discharge of blood ceased. Okay? See, she had that key ingredient of determination. See, Jesus got plenty of power, but sometimes life keeps us separated. Sometimes we don't feel like we're within reach to even make that touch. And in her moment of desperation, I feel like she reached out and she touched it because she didn't know this was her last chance. She had to shoot that shot. And what do you know? She felt in her body that she was healed. In church, she was content to leave it right there. Many times we go to Jesus in our time of crisis. Lord, I need a miracle. Lord, help me out this situation. Lord, please, please, please hear me. And he answered. And then we go right back to our normal routine. Am I right about it? Have you ever been there in your life? Yeah, she got a blessing. But Jesus wanted her to know something even more. Jesus wanted her to know that, yeah, your illness is healed, but I got so much more for you. See, Jesus walked this earth, and a lot of times we talk about he healed the sick and he raised the dead, but the most important thing he came to do was to teach us about a new way of living. The most important thing he came to do was to teach us about a kingdom, and he gave an invitation for anyone to come into that kingdom. So what he wanted this woman to recognize is, no, you're not getting away that easy today, baby. No, 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 no. Because you know what? God got some daughters too. And God don't like to see his daughters sick. So God wants your testimony to be a healing for other daughters. Okay? Yeah, she had determination. She had determination. So she touched him. See, the word study I led on this, it suggests that she reached out and grabbed. It's that same word that when Jesus was in the garden and Mary reached out for him and Jesus said, don't cling to me. It's the same word. And we get in this text that she touched him, but the original text says she grabbed. Now, we know it was a quick move, but I believe When she made that touch, she got a hold of something else. And that she didn't lay hold of. She got a hold of the power of Jesus. And in her body, she knew something changed. And it flashed through her mind all the places she has went to try and get her answer. It flashed through her mind how many people had done her wrong, took advantage of her money, took advantage of her desperation, and left her lying high and dry. But this Jesus that I heard about, I'm holding on to the fact that his power has made me whole. Stuff that she could hold on to, right? Yeah. She kept holding and holding and holding, all right? And that's what this invites us to do, to have that determination to keep holding even when things don't look right, even when Jesus is taking too long, right? Even when people ain't acting right, even when your blessing ain't coming like it's supposed to come, it may come from a different direction. Jesus said you got to keep on holding on. That's where that determination comes in, okay? Let's look back at our text and finish this thing up. I'm going to try not to bump this screen down, Bo, okay? Jesus replied, who, in verse 45, and Jesus said, who was it that touched me? When all denied it, Peter said, Master, the crowd surrounds you and you are pressing in on you. But Jesus says, somebody touch me, for I perceive that power has gone out from me. Yeah. Now let's pause there for a moment. Did y'all see in that text where he got people crowding around him? Did y'all see in that text that people are all over him? Yeah. Wouldn't it be a shame to be that close to all that power and it never touched your life? Wouldn't it be a shame to be in the presence of God and not receive the power of God? Church, there's a lot of times we got to be careful of that even in this day and age. We come to church every week. We do our daily devotions. But sometimes we can get so caught up in going through the motions, so caught up in following the rules that we miss the power that Jesus came to give us. And that's what Jesus is pointing out in this account. Okay, there's a lot of people around him. Maybe they were just here for the show. They heard Jesus was coming. Maybe they were just here to hear a little good preaching. You know, I want to go in there. That's who I heard Jesus could preach. I'm going to go get me some of that. And then walk back and their lives ain't changed at all. Okay, but there was one in the crowd who had an agenda. There was one in the crowd that said, Lord, if you bless me, Lord Jesus, I'm going to hold on. If you bless me, oh, I will follow you. I will be with you. And so enough. She did, okay? So she had a big problem. She had a dilemma, but in her determination, she reached out and touched Jesus, and Jesus called on her to testify. It says in verse 7, and when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him, declared in the presence of all people why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. Her testimony in front of everybody. The same people who used to look at her sideways saw her healed. The same people who used to call her out her name, whatever that name was, saw her healed. She testified before this crowd in the presence of Jesus, the one that they were looking to, I am healed. This is what I thought, Jesus. And when you look at those other texts, he said, I just figured if I would come touch the hem of your garment, maybe it would work. And it did, Lord. So she told everything that was on her heart. God has blessed each and every one of you. And I pray that you don't mind sharing that testimony with somebody else. I pray that you don't mind letting them know the power of Jesus, how it worked in your life. Because ain't nobody got your story but you. And there's people out there that need your story. And what Jesus is saying to this woman, let your story be told, okay? Let the people know what Jesus can do. But there was something else he was doing for her as well. See, she could have easily touched that garment. She could have easily just drifted away. But then when she got back to her neighborhood, people would still be looking at her the same way. She would still have to prove to them that she's eligible to get back into society. But what Jesus said is, right now, I want you to say it because I got something for you. And let's look at that 48th verse. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace That faith right there. That's the faith we're looking for. That faith right there. Where can I find that faith right there? See, throughout all the Gospels, Jesus made it a point to point out, now that's faith right there, okay? And she was one of the ones fortunate enough to be used an example that we talk about today as an example of faith, of that faith. See, it's a faith that brings healing, a faith that brings identity, a faith that brings peace. That faith right there. Just what type of faith is this? And how do I get it? See, there was desperation. There was a dilemma that she had to work through. And then there was determination. See, God pointed this out in so many different ways, and I'm going to do a brief survey of scriptures here. I mentioned that young man who was paralyzed. He said the faith of four friends and the paralyzed one who wouldn't let disability stop them from getting their friend to Jesus. That's in Luke 5:20. And when he saw their faith, he said, man, your sins are forgiven. He saw great faith, that faith right there. When that Roman centurion that acknowledged his unworthiness in Jesus' presence. See, this would be like a country who said, we don't need none of y'all. We're going to do this all by ourselves. And then had to come back and say, can y'all help us, please? Because we done got ourselves in too deep. It would be kind of like that. See, the Romans were the ones that were kind of over them, to some degree, the oppressors. And now this Roman centurion had to come in faith. But he did something unique. He knew he wasn't worthy, but he said, Jesus, I know you are a man of authority. And if you just say the word, my servant will be healed. And Jesus said, I have not seen faith like that, even in my people Israel. Go, your faith has made you well. Okay? And then there was another one. She sinned. She lived a sinful life. Because remember, our sister today didn't say she did nothing wrong. She just picked up a disease. She tried all she could to get by, to make it work, to figure it out, and it didn't work. But this sister right here in Luke, the 7th chapter, her sins were many. And as Jesus was dining at the Pharisee Simon's house, she lay down at his feet. She washed his feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. She poured oil on his feet. And the Pharisees was ill. If you only knew what kind of person she was. You wouldn't let her be touching on you like that. But see, the touch of faith came from her very heart. And that's the touch that moves Jesus. And Jesus said, her sins that are many are forgiven this day. Her faith had made her well. And there are many other examples. And I could just go on and on. But I want to point out to you that that's pointed out through the scriptures. I could talk about the Samaritan leper. Out of 10 lepers that was healed, he's the only one that came back and he said, your faith has made you whole. The blind beggar who yelled out in the crowd in desperation, Jesus, son of David, have mercy. Jesus stopped. See, that's how you get Jesus' attention. He's looking at your heart. He's not looking at all your actions. He's not looking at how many boxes you check, but he's looking at a heart that's sold out for him, a heart that's willing to put it all on the line for him. And when that happens, then that faith will flow. I believe on this day, this unnamed woman who became named daughter, which is more important than any earthly name that she could be given, she touched the heart of Jesus. And what I learned is she never let go. Can you find that faith in you today? Can you take her example? See, don't think that you are alone or I'm alone. We're thinking about what kind of faith this is. The disciples also ask a question about that faith. In Luke 17:5, 5-6, the apostle said to the Lord, after watching Jesus do a miracle, increase our faith. Increase our faith. And I will be curious, and I don't think the scripture said, but Jesus didn't get a big old bag of faith. So, hey, here goes some more. Here, take a little bit more. Jesus never answered that request, with the exception of by saying, now, if you have faith, just the size of a mustard seed, you could say unto this tree, be moved and plucked into the sea, and it will be done. See, faith is not about volume. Faith is not even about the quality of faith, because sometimes, y'all, I call on Jesus for my last little bit of hope I got. It ain't about the quality of your faith. It's about the object of your faith. And Jesus is the power. Jesus is the object of faith that brings the healing. Jesus is the power, okay? We all have needs for this kind of faith. A faith that can touch the master. A faith that believes that he will do just what he said he would do. A faith that reached out and grabbed hold of the promises of God. This is not a blind faith as some people talk about. No, not at all. But rather it is one that is birthed in desperation because of your dilemma, followed by a determination to take it to Jesus. Mm-hmm. See, some people still going up that rope. They're getting towards the end of the rope, but they think they can still go, so they keep trying and trying and trying all themselves. They don't know that rope is moving just as fast as they are. So don't wait till you get to the end of your rope. What you're being invited to do right now is accept Jesus as your only hope, as your help in this world. Because we all got dilemmas. We all got trouble. Now, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, yeah, that's your first dilemma. Because he is the only one that can deal with your sin problem. He is the only one that can connect you to Father for eternal life. He is the only one that can unleash his power on your behalf, that those who put their hope in Jesus may never be put to shame. You got to make that connection. You got to reach out and make that touch. So your first dilemma is to turn and give your heart to Jesus. But also for those of us who put our trust in him, who put it all on the line, we come across dilemmas from time to time too. Sometimes where our faith is tested. And the thing about this mustard seed faith, and I may have mentioned this last time, but it's really stuck in my spirit. That mustard seed faith, and we talk about that faith that will grow and become the biggest thing in the garden. See, it's not about the size of that faith. It's about whatever situation you got going on that you're willing to put it in the hands of Jesus. That's a seed. Oh, Lord God, how am I going to be a father to this baby? Oh, that's a seed. Oh, Lord God, what's going to happen when the money run out? That's a seed. Oh, God, they just talking about layoffs in the government. Oh, that's a seed. Put it in his hands, and each of those seeds, when you put it in Jesus' hands, will grow. That's what he's talking about. So Jesus' message to the disciples was it ain't about volume. It's about the quality of your faith. And that's what I'm encouraging you today, to use that type of faith. I wonder how many people in the crowd had this type of faith. The text doesn't tell me if anyone else was healed in this scene, but I can't help but wonder. They had proximity, but no power. They had presence, but no power. They had preaching, but they didn't receive the power. However, when this desperate, determined daughter reached out, she found that she received not only her physical healing, but her entire life had been restored. Yeah. We've got dilemmas. And I want to encourage you today that faith that can be touched, take it to Jesus and leave it there. I've tried him for myself and I know he's good, but you know what? I can taste chocolate ice cream all day long, but I can't tell you how it tastes. Try it, right? I know it's good. Taste it. But I can't let you experience that. You got to try it for yourself. That's why David said, taste and see that the Lord is good. His mercy is for each and every one of us. Yeah. We're nearing this resurrection season as we celebrate. And I'm getting ready to take my seat. But what I want you to take into this celebration is remember exactly why Jesus walked this earth. Yes, he did miracles. Yes, he healed the sick. Yes, he raised the dead. But he was trying to get across a message. Even after this scene right here, even in this scene where all victory was coming through Jesus, it wasn't short time after that, people were rejecting him. People were spitting on him. People were saying he saved others. He can't help himself. But Jesus had a destination in mind. He had a dilemma. His dilemma is I can't love y'all like I want to love y'all unless I go to the cross. His dilemma was for her blood flow to stop, my blood flow got to start. And the blood of Jesus is what touches our lives each and every day. The blood of Jesus is what brings healing. Yeah, Jesus had a dilemma, but he also had determination. And in that ninth chapter, he set his face towards Jerusalem like a flint. He knew what he had to do. He didn't get caught up in all the praise of the people, but he endured that cross, despising the shame, that we might have a Savior that lasts forever. And we got him today, saints. Yeah. I thank God for the blood of Jesus. What we see in this message is that it don't matter who you are, male, female, don't matter what social class, when you look at those miracles, he went from high to low. Didn't even talk about the demonic man that he healed. Jesus wasn't even caring about that, because all he saw is, that's my child. That's my son. That's my daughter. And she's struggling right now. Just like Jairus was desperate to get his daughter healed, Jesus is desperate to see you healed. So I want you to put your trust in him today. I want you to find that faith right there that can touch the heart of Jesus. And I promise you that if you put your trust in him, he will not let you down. If you hold on to him with all you can, he will never let you go. Receive him today. As I get ready to go to my seat, I want to offer up an invitation today. Because I believe we got some people in the house that's been dealing with a little desperation. And we got an opportunity right now to put it in the hands of Jesus. Don't let nobody's attitude stop you. Don't let your discomfort in this moment about the people sitting news next to you stop you. But you put your hand in the hand of the Master, and he will hold you, even when you can't hold yourself. If you would, I'm going to ask that you stand with me as we open the doors of the church. By letter, by Christian experience, even as a candidate for baptism, you're welcome to give your life to Christ today. Jesus indeed is the answer. He's the answer for everything going on in your life right now. But you got to be willing to give it to him. You got to be willing to touch him for yourself. Won't you come? Just a moment, as we get ready to close in prayer, I just want to pray for us all that we might find that determination that helps us get through those dilemmas in our life. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we come before your presence with thanksgiving in our heart. We thank you, Lord God, that you came to this earth to be God with us. And we thank you, Lord, that because you came near, we can reach out and touch you in our time of need, Lord God. Thank you, dear Father, for being available to the untouchable. Thank you, oh God, for being available to the outcast. Thank you, oh God, for being available for a sinner man like me, that I may know the joy of a loving Father. Lord God, there are many hearts represented in this place. I pray, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, that your blood may touch and bring healing, bring deliverance, bring strength, that we might truly be restored on this morning, Lord God. You know the deepest desires, the deepest dilemmas in our heart right now. And oh God, we might not be ready to speak them right now, but God, you know. Just like you know about the woman who touched our Lord Jesus. So Father God, we pray that you would receive them right now, Lord God. And help them when they get their healing to tell the world about a Savior who loves them and has all healing power in his hands. Now unto him who is able to keep us from falling and present us faultless before his presence with exceeding joy. To the only wise God be majesty, glory, dominion, and power. It's in the mighty name of Jesus that we pray. Let every heart say, amen. Amen. You are dismissed. God bless you. Go in peace.